Yo, what's up? Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. All our guests appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Our pal Clinton Yates is going to stop by at 1040 for a couple of segments. We just had a fun discussion about Bloody Marys. We'll get to that in a second because I want to revisit that with the crew here from our crosstalk with the morning show in just a second. But, by the way, make sure you cover all your bases like the Dodgers did last night. Boy, was that a fun game. Get to the get the same networks as the big boys, but pay only 50% less with our friends at Straight Talk Wireless. Get the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data and 2G for $45 a month. Only at Walmart. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. Real quick, before we get into the Dodgers, because I do want to get into that in that game last night because it was really fun. And the Padres are going to be interesting to watch over the next couple of years. But let's start with the Lakers. The Lakers struggles in the bubble. Bubble struggles for your Los Angeles Lakers. Yesterday was the worst offensive game your Los Angeles Lakers have played all season. In the bubble, your Los Angeles Lakers are averaging 99.3 points per game, which is the worst point total in the bubble thus far. They went from the best field goal percentage in the league to the worst while in the bubble, 55% to 39.8%. They're shooting 25% from three in the bubble. They were shooting 35% from three during the regular season, which wasn't great either. It was still 23rd or whatever it was in the league. And they have the second worst free throw percentage in the bubble at the moment at 73.8%. LeBron has struggled shooting. He's shooting 44% in the bubble. In two wins, Anthony Davis has taken 47 shots. In two losses, Anthony Davis has taken 18 shots, including 11 last night. Danny Green and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope couldn't hit the side of a barn, but we did see Dion Waiters hit the side of a backboard yesterday. Regardless of all of that, I am buying all of the Lakers stock that people seem to be selling. Yes, the Lakers have not been good in the bubble, but I will still contend they are still the only team with two top five guys in the league in LeBron and Anthony Davis. And I know it's been 2 years, but people have clearly forgotten what LeBron does in the playoffs. There is no question in my mind that people have forgotten that, Greg Bergman. But even you have to be at least a little worried about what you're seeing out there.
I mean, the shooting is a bit concerning, to say the least. And Danny Green is probably the biggest culprit of all of it. He cannot hit a shot to save his life. He hit one corner three, and that must have felt amazing to him because he has just been terrible since he got into the bubble.
I'm a little worried. Bad. Laura, are you concerned? Have you hit a level of concern yet?
I am concerned. I mean, that was horrible yesterday.
It was really bad. You were very frustrated in our text string yesterday. You were so mad you just flipped over to the Dodger game.
I did. I was like, I'm done. The Dodgers hadn't even, I don't even think they had started, and I was already flipping channels. I was like, I can't anymore. I can't watch this. I usually get kicked out of my house. Or not my house, but like the living room because I'm yelling, because I'm cheering. But yesterday it happened because I was cursing so much at the TV. I was like, I'm done. Can't do it anymore.
Yeah, it was bad. I mean, there was not, Greg, they looked uncompetitive yesterday. Like they looked like there was not even an effort put forth towards trying to win that game after the Thunder jumped out early on them.
Yeah, it really seemed like they just didn't care. I normally don't go for these tropes of, you know, oh, we just won the West, so we don't care. And they seem like a team that doesn't really do that and go out every single game and try and play. And they just felt like a team that just clinched the West and were just like, what are we going to do here? You got out in front of us. We're not even going to put any effort. And also, I mean, Anthony Davis had fouls quickly. He had five fouls in the third quarter. So they just never really had a chance to really get going. It was frustrating. It was a very bad basketball.
And by the way, Alex Caruso, outside of the Clipper game, has not played well in his new role of being kind of the first guy off the bench. He is a fouling machine, it feels like. He's hacking everybody. It just, everybody seems off right now. Despite all that, I still believe in LeBron James figuring it out. I still believe that he will get the best out of Anthony Davis. He will get the best out of his teammates because that's what he does. Now, they are not the best team on paper, right? Like, you will at least admit that, Greg, that they are not the best team on paper, that the Clippers are a better team on paper than the Lakers.
Yeah, no, the Clippers are a better team on paper. I can admit it.
Okay, Laura, will you admit that, that the Clippers are a better team than the Lakers on paper? Clearly, by her silence, we know that she's not willing to admit that that is the case.
I mean...
However, it's fine. It's fine. It's fine that it doesn't want to come out of your mouth, but it's fine. They are. However, I still don't... Just because they're the best team on paper doesn't mean that they're the team that wins. That doesn't happen in sports all the time. Even in the NBA, where generally talent beats everything. We've seen LeBron, in particular, okay, overcome plenty of odds. LeBron James was on a team that was down 5 points in an elimination game with 28.2 seconds to go and won that game and then won a game seven against the same team. LeBron James was on a team that was down 3-1 against the team that had won the most regular season games in the history of the sport and won in seven games. So I know it's been a long time since playoff LeBron has been activated. I know he doesn't look great either. I am not selling that stock. I'm not doing it. And I know people are freaking out. And I get it. You should be freaking out. But I am not ready to sell that stock because I've seen what that man has done when everyone has counted him out before. And you're starting to get that. Greg, you're starting to get it, whether it's the gas bags that work at the other network, right? Or whether it's just people who cover the league in general, people are starting to sell the Lakers stock. You know, it doesn't look like they're hitting shots. Things come in waves, okay? And I believe that Anthony Davis, while I don't always agree with everything he tends to say in post games, I feel like sometimes he says things that make me shake my head. I do agree with this. Anthony Davis yesterday did say this. He said, better to be missing the shots now than when the playoffs start. So before everyone starts to sit here and talk about how the Portland Trailblazers are going to beat the Lakers in the first round, and yeah, look, everyone needs to take a deep breath. Everyone needs to relax. Everyone needs to calm down. Now, we can talk this through, right? We can open up the phone lines and discuss what your concerns are at 877-710-ESPN. You could talk about, if you're a Clipper fan, you could sit here and wave your pom-poms right now. But what's happening right now is not what could potentially happen in the playoffs. I have said this. I've been steadfast on this. I don't put a ton of stock in what happens in the regular season in regards to how the playoffs are determined. And by the way, it's not like the Clippers didn't lose a game they should have won against a Phoenix Suns team who, yeah, is playing well and playing for its playoff life, but they really still have no business losing to those guys, okay? So, again, we'll open it up at 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. If I'm going to ask you for a number, 10 being most concerned, 1 being least concerned. Greg Bergman, what is your level of concern with the Lakers at the current moment on August 6th, Thursday, August 6th?
5. I'm not really
concerned.
That
was up from a 2 the other day or whatever it was.
No, it was a 5. It was 5 the other day.
It was a 5. So still no difference.
No difference was it. These games don't really change anything. All the things that you're saying are absolutely right. And this is also a team that's trying to figure out what they're going to do with, like, we were talking about Alex Caruso coming in. Avery Bradley, as much as people like to talk about it on the broadcast, it's a big deal. Avery Bradley not being on that starting rotation is a big, big deal in his defense. In he was hitting threes with regularity towards the end. It's a loss. And other guys are now trying to get into that spot, and you're trying to integrate new people. And they're just trying to figure out what the best scenarios are for each guy. And I just think it's all going to work itself out by the time the playoffs start.
Okay. Laura, where is your level of concern?
I will go 6.
Okay, 6.
It's down. She was an 8 the other day.
And mine went down. Even though the game was horrible yesterday, it went down.
Okay. Okay. That's fine.
Like, OKC's a good team.
They are a good team, but they're not that good a team.
No.
They're not that good a team where they should be just white. Now, granted, it's one game, but they're not that good a team. Like, Chris Paul looked like the best player on the floor yesterday. Which, by the way, people, to your point, Greg, people need to, I know there's a lot of mocking of Chris Paul. Chris Paul is a damn good player, okay? Chris Paul is called the point god for a reason, okay? Chris Paul is one of the greatest point guards to ever play the game, okay? And let's not get it twisted. Just because he hasn't had the postseason success doesn't mean that it has all been his fault. Chris Paul has had some of the best player efficiency ratings on all his teams prior to the Rockets situation because, you know, that's a completely different situation with James Harden. And again, had his hamstrings not gotten hurt, he's probably going to the NBA Finals. He may have a championship right now. So the whole outlook for Chris Paul could look different. But, the mouth breathers that some that still cover the NBA will love to tell you, rings, with a Z, right? You know, and that analytics has ruined the game. And you know, just stop. Even your eyes will tell you. He's as good as any guy you've ever seen play the position. I mean, you'd have to be a dope to think otherwise. But anyway, we'll open it up at 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. Laura, I was just talking with the morning show guys. They were doing their snake draft about alcoholic drinks. Greg Bergman is a big fan of the Bloody Mary. Yes. I am not a fan of the Bloody Mary, as I told the guys in the morning show. You apparently also not a fan of the Bloody Mary. I just am not a tomato juice person. I think it's gross.
Yeah, me too. It's like a nasty Mary. No, thank you. Pass.
A nasty Mary. Get out of here.
I mean, Greg, come on. Really?
It is delicious, especially in the morning.
Have a manly drink.
After a drink, the Bloody Mary is nowhere near not a manly drink.
I'm kind of siding with Laura there.
Yeah, thank
you.
No,
oh, please. No. You can put that up on a poll. That is not... A Bloody Mary is absolutely a manly drink. That is a lot of alcohol in first thing in the morning.
If it's got a piece of celery sticking out of the glass, I don't necessarily look at it as something that I would...
It can have a whole bunch
oozes,
of stuff.
Hold on. If it's got a piece of celery sticking out of it, it doesn't ooze masculinity is all I would say.
No, okay, maybe it doesn't ooze it, but this is a manly drink or a womanly drink. It's all the same. Like anybody can have it. It's just a good drink.
An old-fashioned
old-fashioned
is a
oozes
manly
masculinity.
Drink.
Yes.
Sure, old-fashioned are good. A little bit sweet for my flavor.
A Manhattan oozes masculinity.
Mm-hmm.
Manhattans are good, too.
Jack and
still
Coke.
Got a little sweet.
Jack and Coke oozes masculinity.
See, to me, Jack and Coke was the number one overall pick that should have been done there.
I don't
Martini,
think Jack and Coke is that good, because I don't think Jack Daniels is all that good, to be honest with you, but...
No, I mean, if you're going to drink
but
the brown,
I am
it's got to
snob,
be a much
I am a
thing.
Snob brown liquor drinker. You know what I'm saying? So I there is that.
I'm with you on that. I drink only scotch, and I drink it neat. So I don't even
Well,
put
I don't only in. Drink scotch. I drink bourbon, too.
Sure.
But I don't drink – I don't love Jack Daniels.
No. Again, another on the sweet side. But I drink everything neat. I don't drink anything with any extra. I don't put Coke in anything. I don't put
I just give it to be straight. I'm with you on that.
Yeah.
I am.
I don't even want ice.
That.
No ice. No ice either.
Well,
just
no, ice is fine. It doesn't have to be, but ice is
no,
fine.
Like, if ice you want is fine. Ice in, I just okay don't like it. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Coming up next, the Dodgers. Wow. What a thriller. But I do have more questions for you. Is the bubble the great equalizer? What is your level of concern after watching the Lakers play their worst offensive game of the season? That's not even hyperbolic. That is literally what happened yesterday. And I've got a food question for the audience. All that coming up in just a second. So down over here at 710 ESPN. Don't forget our buddy Clint Yates going to stop by in a little bit, about 25 minutes or so. It's all presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average. Call or click today and find out if we could save you hundreds on your car insurance. It is time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. People are chiming in on the phones on their concern about the Lakers or their level of concern. People are also chiming in on Bloody Mary talk, manly or not manly. I would just say that it doesn't ooze masculinity. Clint Yates is texting us. He agrees with Laura and I. Greg Bergman, as usual, on an island at this particular point of the show.
Seriously? Jeez.
Yeah. So feel free to weigh in on that. Speaking of food and beverages. So I saw my buddy Beto Duran put this on Instagram yesterday. And I've been to this place. He posted on Instagram a sandwich from a sandwich shop, okay, called Busy Bee Market in San Pedro. Have you ever heard of it before, any of you?
No, I saw him post that. I've never heard of it, though.
Laura, yes, no?
No.
It is unbelievable. Like, if you like sandwiches, like subs, things like that, I've been there. It is the best sandwich shop I've had in L.A. Now, I've had some really good sandwiches. Now, I've been to places that are a little more trendy, like Fat Sal's in Hollywood, which is excellent as well. But this is a little different. This is more like just subs, it feels like, for the most part. Now, there's, I guess, not just subs. I shouldn't say that. But it feels like more mom and pop, even though Fat Sal's is pretty mom and pop-ish, too. But I guess it's just it feels more trendy. But, man, even though, I'm not trying to, again, Fat Sal's excellent. But and they, at one point, were one of my favorites, arguably the favorite. But Busy Bee in San Pedro, man, that might be the best sandwich I've ever had while I've lived here in L.A. It is pretty damn impressive. Bergman, is there a sandwich shop in the Bergman sphere that you say to yourself, this is the go-to place all day, every day?
Yes. There is a place in Woodland Hills called Cricas, C-R-I-C-C-A-S, and it is the most delicious sandwich I have ever had, and I went there every single week when I was in high school on my, you used to go to lunch, off campus lunch.
Right.
That's where I'd go every time. It is the best in LA for me.
Okay. Laura, is there a sandwich shop that you say to yourself, this is the king? This one wears the crown?
No.
Really?
I'm not a big sub person. So oh? I actually want to try the one you're talking about. So maybe that'll be my new one.
Yeah, Busy Bee. In San Pedro. Excellent stuff. So, the Dodgers yesterday. How fun was that? Now, Laura, because you live and die, I feel like, with every pitch with the Dodgers. Greg does sort of, though he does try to play it off like he doesn't sometimes. you live and die
maybe
with every pitch. And they were up 7-2. They almost blew a 5-run lead. And Kenley Jansen, it was a little bit of a roller coaster there at the end, but Chris Taylor came up with the monster throw from left field to nail the Padres at the plate to end the game.
Grisham. Trent Grisham.
I'm sorry. Grisham was the Padres player that he nailed at the plate, and it was exciting. I was worried when it happened. I'm like, oh, no, we're going to go into extra innings maybe, and then all of a sudden – when I saw the throw online, I'm like, oh, he's got it. As long as Will Smith feels this cleanly, he's got it. How nervous were you, Laura, as that inning was playing out?
I don't think I've dropped enough F-bombs in the Laker game that dropped in that Dodger game. But then you ended up messaging us, texting us. And I was like, oh, my God, I'm so glad they're awake, because I wanted to text you guys like crazy, but I also want to respect the time. But I'm like, oh, and I think I text you, me desmayo, because yeah. I literally almost, that's how I felt, I was going to faint.
Yeah, and very much in gringo style, Greg was like, me desmayo? What does that mean?
I even said gringo here. I don't know what that means at all.
She almost fainted.
I almost fainted. That's exactly how I felt. It was so many emotions going through me. And then you see that, and I'm like, oh, that was amazing. I miss sports. I miss baseball.
Yeah.
Ugh, I love it.
It was fun to watch. It really was one of those moments. I had a rough day yesterday, and I'll explain that a little later. But it was exactly what I needed. You know what I mean? Because just sports can make you smile and make you just kind of have an unbelievable exclamation point to your day. And that was really one of those moments. You know what I mean? It's just like, holy crap. Like, it doesn't matter who you're a fan of. Well, I guess if you're a Padres fan, it does suck. But if you were a fan of anyone else outside of the Padres and you watch that moment, you're like, holy crap, that was crazy. It was an insane ending to the game. And by the way, Joe Davis, I've only gotten a limited opportunity to listen to him over the years because, I have DirecTV and I haven't had Sportsnet LA until recently. I have caught him on Fox Games in the past. He's unbelievable, man. He is so, so good.
Joe Davis and Oral Hershiser together are one of the best tandems, period. They're so good. They're just good friends.
Yeah.
And they just get along really well. It's a pleasure to listen to those two. But what I was going to say is, what is more exciting to you specifically, a walk-off home run or a walk-off outfield assist to gun him at the plate like that?
I mean, a walk-off home run is still more exciting. I think that...
I don't know. I mean,
well, this is what... Here's what I would say. The walk-off unassisted throw out at home is unbelievably exciting too. Way more rare, clearly.
Right.
But I just think that there is something to the crack of the bat where you just like... The minute you hear it, you know it, and you like stand up off your couch, and you're like, yeah, that's gone. Like, you know when it's gone. You know what I'm saying? Like, whereas with this, you're like, there's anticipation. You're like, oh, my God, is he going to be here? Like, oh, wow, that's awesome. You know what I mean? Like, it's just a different ramp up to the emotion, I would say.
Right. I think, like, with a walk-off home run, you're like you're saying, from the second that you hear the crack of the bat, it's you know it's gone. Whereas with this gun down at the plate, you're watching it in slow motion as the ball is flying, bouncing, getting into Will Smith's glove, Will Smith leaning over to tag him right before he touches the plate. The anticipation through the whole thing is just so much more exciting to me.
Yeah, I mean, there's more anticipation. I don't know if it's more exciting, but I mean, we could debate it. We could ask people to call in at 877-710-ESPN. What is more exciting, the walk-off home run or the unassisted throw out at home plate? All right, let's go to George in Covina. George, what's up?
What's going on, George? How you doing, man?
I'm good, buddy.
Hey, listen, a couple quick things. First time, long time. Glad to get connected with you. So, with the Lakers, my level of concern is about a 5, and it all depends, in my opinion, on how Frank Vogel does from a rotation perspective. My opinion is I'm not worried about Caruso. I think he'll get back into it. He's getting the right amount of minutes, by the way, in my opinion. Also, with Danny Green, he's obviously been horrible, but he's a veteran, and when the playoffs come, he'll be fine. And, I think he's getting the right amount of minutes. What I don't understand, and I think where the whole problem is the love with KCP. That guy belongs at the LA Fitness. I mean, he's not good enough to be a starter for the Lakers, and I know there's politics behind it with the agent and everything, but at the end of the day, when the playoffs come, Vogel should not be playing on the minutes that he plays. I mean, he's horrible on both ends of the court. I just don't get that. So I'd like to get your take on that.
George, thank you, buddy. Stay healthy, stay safe, and thank you for calling in and, of course, tuning in. And hopefully you will tune in when I move to 4 o'clock with LZ Granderson beginning on August 17th. Lauren Gregg will be coming with us as well. Here's what I would say to that. You're not wrong. KCP's been terrible during the bubble. He had played... Oh, I thought pretty well during the season at times. And here's what I would say is that the one thing I feel comfortable in saying about Frank Vogel is that he's okay pulling guys that aren't AD and LeBron. You know what I'm saying? Like, and look, you should never really pull AD and LeBron because you let those guys play through whatever issues they may be having. But Greg, is that fair? Like, he's messed with, not messed with, that's probably not the proper way to say it, but he has not been shy about sitting guys if they're not playing well. But I think now is the time to kind of give guys the opportunity to play themselves maybe out of a rotation spot. But he's done that with Kuzma plenty this season, and KCP and Caruso and Rondo, right? Like, he has pulled guys at different moments where he's just been like, all right, I've seen enough, and then he's just gone with a different group.
One of the best things that he's done is his halftime adjustments from Frank Vogel have been very, very good, where he will change up his lineup in the second half to help fit what was going wrong in the first half. And KCP, by the way, has been a very up and down type player. His first couple of years, he was terrible. The first 10 games of this season, he was god awful, where he went, I think, the first 3 games without making a shot. But then throughout the rest of this year so far, he was hitting 39% to 40% of his threes. So, and he is still a good defender. He was much better this year than what he's showing in the bubble.
We'll see. We'll see how good he is.
I'm not a huge fan by any means, but he has been much better this year than he was at the beginning of the season and the years prior.
We'll see. We'll see. Wes is in the Valley. What's up, Wes?
What's going on? Calling in once again to defend my boy Greg on these Bloody Marys.
Love this guy.
Wes in the Valley is all part of Team Bergman.
Good Lord, you ain't on the island alone, brother. I'm right there with you. Chair, sitting there, sipping. Cheers. Cheers to Greg. Good Lord. George, you don't leave the club, hit the breakfast spot, and have a Bloody Mary?
Never.
Oh, my goodness.
It's gross.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. A little Tabasco, a little pepper, celery stick, three green olives. Oh.
No, it's gross. Oh,
come
it's
on.
It's gross. Will you at least admit, Wes, that it's not the most masculine of drinks?
There's nothing wrong with a little pepper and Tabasco.
No. A piece of celery sticking out of your drink doesn't ooze masculinity. Let's be real here.
Oh, it's breakfast time. What's wrong with celery?
It doesn't taste like anything, celery.
Hey, when you're on Woodland Hills, check out Dan's Super Sub. That's a great spot.
What is it?
Dan's is good, too.
Dan's Super. Yeah, you know about that, Dan's Super Sub.
All right, Wes. Thank you, buddy. Yeah.
That's the other go-to spot.
Is it a Valley thing? 877-710-ESPN. Should I just put up a poll randomly that says, is it a Valley thing? Yes or no? Let's go
to
Roman.
There is nothing wrong with having a Bloody Mary in the morning, all right? That's all I'm saying.
Roman in L.A. Roman.
Hey, Sedano. First time, long-time listener. Love your show.
Thank you, buddy.
You guys are doing a good job, and congrats on the new lineup.
Thank you.
I just want to say, I have zero concern with the Lakers.
Okay.
Relax. They locked up the top seed. I didn't expect them to win. I wanted to say maybe they'll win two or three more games. Maybe. Like the rest of the season. Now's the time where they need to just play the rest of their guys. Just let them go through rotations. You know, it's cruise control right now until the playoffs start. And then once the playoffs start, we'll see AD get his shots in like he has been when our wins where he scored like, you know, 30 to 40 points a game. Everything will be fine. Everyone needs to react.
Okay. Fair enough, buddy. Thank you for the call. 877-710-ESPN. Roman drops off. Stay healthy. Stay safe. You, Roman, Wes, and George earlier. Let's go to Jason in the LBC. Jason, what's up?
Hey, what's up, man? For one, from the, we don't drink Bloody Marys at all. Second thing is the Lakers, well, I want to figure out what we can do to get LeBron's $2 million recovery team and workout team to the bubble, because he hasn't been the same. You know, to me, he hasn't looked the same since this whole letdown or breakdown or whatever. So I think it all starts with LeBron. We still have yet to see AD carry a team past the first round. So we got to have – my concern is like 5 and 6, you know what I mean? Like, I'm the biggest Laker fan going, but I see Portland coming. I see Houston coming. These dudes are young and spry, and, you know, we're not going to have, you know, they're not going to have the home court advantage with the, you know, Staples Center. You know, we got the first seed, but that really don't matter because.
Oh, I think we lost you. Listen, I get the concerns. Look, I'm not saying it's going to be easy, but I am not. I'm going to favor LeBron James and AD in every one of those series. Every single one of them. I don't think Portland can – I don't think their big men can keep up with AD. And they certainly don't have anyone to guard LeBron for all the concern about Dame and CJ. Who's going to guard LeBron? Who's going to guard AD in that series? Same with Houston, for that matter, you know? All right, let's go – let me grab John in Glendale real quick. John.
George, how you doing, man?
Hey, bud.
Good. Hey, here's what concerns me, man. I called Slewa last night about it. You know what? I know everybody's saying AD's going to get back, but you know what worries me? Why is AD shooting three-pointers? What are we playing with Mike D'Antoni? In the playoffs, AD needs to be in the post. If not, we're not going to get anywhere. And we'll see that tonight.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, listen, I think you got to be able to mix it up. I do think you have to mix it up, John, and I appreciate it. I got to run because we're up against it. And stay healthy and stay safe. But you got to mix it up. And AD has actually been a pretty good three-point shooter this year. So I'm not knocking him. Like, I think that it just depends on who else is on the floor, particularly if he's on the floor with another center. You have to be able – you can't clog the lane. You know what I mean? Like, there has to be spacing on the floor too. All right. Coming up next, John Gruden. We'll take more of your calls on the Lakers, obviously, and the Dodgers. And what is more thrilling to you, a walk-off home run or a walk-off unassisted out throw out at home from the outfield? But coming up next, John Gruden has a weird sense of humor, and I'll explain what that means in 2 minutes. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. All our guests appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Clint Yates going to join us in 8 minutes for his weekly appearance here on the show. We'll chat with him shortly. I do want to get to this John Gruden story here. Also, Bill Barnwell has a great story on ESPN.com about predicting, like, they did, like, he had the analytics crew kind of do like a prediction of the each NFL team and how many Hall of Famers they have on it right now based on their statistical output and things of that nature. So I've got some stuff on the Chargers, Raiders, and Rams here that I think are interesting. So he puts it in like three different categories, which one is a lock, obviously. The other one is, I want to make sure I have it right, in the running, and then the other one has a ways to go. So I'm only going to do the ones that are locks and in the running, and I think it's just pretty funny. Some of them are pretty funny. But John Gruden, real quick. John Gruden has a very weird sense of humor. Greg, are you familiar that your coach has a weird sense of humor? Are you aware of this?
I mean, yeah, he's not. He's a weird guy.
Yeah, so he's a weird guy. So Mike Garofalo of the NFL Network had a report yesterday about John Gruden and a meeting he had on Zoom with his players, and he apparently played a, I don't want to say a joke, but I guess he was trying to teach them a lesson, but his sense of humor came across a little strange here. Let's listen to the report, Laura.
I want to relay a story I heard last week because this is pretty telling about how teams are approaching how things are right now in the COVID world, and that is the Raiders players logging on to a Zoom call last week expecting to see John Gruden. Instead, they saw Rich Bisaccia, the special teams coach and the assistant head coach. Bisaccia told them, guys, Coach Gruden has COVID, and he's at the hospital now, and he's being taken care of, and the players were taken aback. Whoa! They shortly thereafter told him, you know what? We're just putting you on a little bit. And it wasn't a joke. What it was the team illustrating to the players that this could happen at any moment to anybody. And mind you, this was a couple days before Doug Peterson with the Eagles tested positive. So the point to the players was, you've got to stay ready. Everybody's got to stay ready because this virus that Gruden himself said that they want to crush could pop up, and it doesn't discriminate. So this is something we could face some point in the season, whether it's our head coach, our starting quarterback, whatever. So just to illustrate to you guys, here's a little exercise. And the players really took it to heart from what I'm told. And now going forward, know that everybody's got to be on the ready because of the world that we are living in right now.
So a little strange, Greg, what did you say? It's kind of a strange way of bringing the attention to the coronavirus.
Yeah, it's got a little bit of cringe to it. Yeah. Not really a fan of that one.
Yeah, Laura, weird or interesting? Which one?
I'm kind of torn. So it's weird and it's too much for me, but at the same time, it's such a like boom hit in your face that maybe it just has them react to not be dumb.
Yeah. Listen, I'm with you. I get it. It is just weird. I probably lean more towards weird, obviously. It also hits me a little different. I literally have a friend fighting for his life right now on a ventilator. So it just, I guess maybe the timing of it is strange for me too. And what I would say to you is this, not to do some public service announcement, but, you know, I try to consider us all family here on this show, including the listeners, that, look, this person I have, this friend who I've known for 30 plus years is, you know, just turned 50, in good shape, runs every day, you know, doesn't have any pre-existings, and is fighting for his life, like literally unconscious on a ventilator right now. So, you know, just be careful, man. Like, it really, it is a lot more serious than you think. This is not a joke, okay? So be cautious with what you do. Be careful with what you do because you never know, right? Even people, you know, we always assume that, oh, if I get it, nothing's going to happen. And maybe that's the case, but maybe you're not as lucky. So anyway, in regards to what I mentioned earlier before we go to break, Bill Barnwell has a cool story up on ESPN.com, and it's about the Hall of Fame chances for the different players on the different teams, and he has it in three different categories: lock, in the running, and needs some work, right? So I'm not going to bore you with the needs some work, although I will tell you that I will give you a little spoiler alert. Jared Goff is definitely in the needs some work category for the Rams. So let me do this. I'm going to start with the Chargers. Greg, take a quick guess. They don't have any locks at the moment because clearly they're a young team. But who is – they have two guys in the running. according to this list on ESPN.com, if you had to pick two guys in the Chargers in the running for a Hall of Fame, which means they have a better than a somewhere between a 60 and 79% chance of making the Hall of Fame at this current moment, if their output continues at this current rate, who would those two players be?
Joey Bosa is definitely one of them.
Right, that's correct.
And then the other one, I mean, Austin Eckler?
No. Get out of here, Austin.
Yeah, no, I don't know. I'm trying to think.
Derwin James. They're safety. Derwin James, the safety out of Florida State. He's excellent. Yeah, he's unbelievable. With the Rams, the lock, pretty easy, I would venture to guess, right? Go ahead.
Yes. Yeah, it's Aaron.
Aaron Donald, yes. They have one player in the running. Would you like to take a guess who that is? I'll give you a guess. It's on defense.
It's on defense. A player that's in the running.
For a Hall of Fame career.
I don't got it.
Jalen Ramsey.
Oh, Jalen Ramsey. Dang.
Jalen Ramsey. The Raiders have one player. One player at no. They have zero players in the running. They have zero players that need work. They have one player that's a lock. Would you like to guess who it is?
That's a lock?
Yeah.
It's, the best player on that team is Max Crosby at this point. So, no, none of them. Not that I can think of.
It's Jason Witten, who isn't even really a Raider yet.
Oh, jeez, I forgot he was even there.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. Not great. Not great is all I'm saying. Like, still a lot of work to do there for the young Raiders. Anyway. Good Lord. So anyway,
Josh
so there's
Jacobs
that.
Going to be up there at some point.
Yeah. Hey, so I know we've got a bunch of people on hold that want to chime in on the Lakers, and Clinton and I are going to talk about the Lakers. So stick around there. We're going to get to your calls in the next segment. I promise. We'll do some of that. We'll talk Lakers with Clinton. I want to talk some baseball with Clinton. I want to talk about the Pac-12 situation with Clinton. We'll do all that with Clinton Yates here in just a few moments. He's going to join us in 2 minutes and 30 seconds. Sedano with you here, 710 ESPN. Clinton Yates joining us in just a moment. This segment brought to you by Pennzoil Synthetic Motor Oils, made from natural gas. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil. Before we get to the Lakers, or back to the Lakers, because I know Clinton's got some thoughts on them, Clinton has real thoughts on the alcoholic beverage conversation we were having. Clinton, you have the floor.
Thank you. Well, first of all, hello to everybody. It's good to talk to you all this week. Secondly, there's two things about Bloody Marys. Number one, the masculine, feminine, whatever debate that may or may not exist in that regard is immaterial to the primary debate about Bloody Marys, which is that they just ain't that good.
They taste terrible.
I mean, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You know, like the high end of a good Bloody Mary, fruit accessories aside, is not as high as a lot of other brunch drinks. Now, I like me a spicy Bloody Mary. The other thing about a Bloody Mary is that's not something I would make at home. So there's that. Number two, the main brunch drink that is massively underrated that I have consumed quite a few of, and in my household is definitely a favorite, is the French 75. Now, for those of you who don't know what the French 75 is, it's basically gin, champagne, and whatever other mixer you want to hit it with of the carbonated variety. Some people go with a Sprite. Some people go with the ginger ale to give it a little extra hit. And some people will just go with a soda water. That is the brunch drink of champions, my friend. And you get that bad boy in a pint glass, not a champagne flute, and you're really moving when you're out of brunch.
Wow, look at that. Now that is brunch 101 right there. That's all you need to know.
I'm out here.
All right. We have some breaking news, Clinton. Our Dave McMiniman is reporting that LeBron James is out tonight versus the Houston Rockets. Sore right groin. Breaking news on 710 ESPN is brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change, home of the 15-minute drive-through oil change. Visit SoCalOilChange.com and find a location near you and download up to $15 in coupons. So let's dive right into this. Mm-hmm. LeBron has not looked himself. Sore right groin is a little concerning because we all know that was the injury last year. Again, not to say that the two things are directly correlated, last year versus this year, but just, you know, cause for concern, right? Like, there's always concern, I feel like, whenever there is an injury to LeBron, even if it's something that is mild in this particular case.
Okay, so you asked earlier in the show, what is your level of concern? And I heard that discussion, and the scale you used was from 1 to 10.
Correct.
And I thought to myself, well, when I answer this question, I'm going to perhaps move off the scale because my concern was a 0. Now, it has moved up to 1 simply because of the groin, but that is a mild 1, a grade one, if you will, in terms of my concern level. And look, I mean, I guess the whole time that we were getting into this discussion about what the Lakers' strategy was going to be in these eight games, nobody seemed to have a real answer. And the only reason why I thought that was going to be instructive is because it was going to allow what I just call the lap-to-lap warriors of Laker fandom to chill out a little bit if some of these things went a little bit awry or they just had to shut a couple people down. I'm not worried. You know, this is still the best team, arguably, in the West, if not necessarily the best team in Los Angeles, you know, and I just don't think that this is something to get that worried about. I believe there's no reason not to believe in LeBron James and Anthony Davis. There just isn't. There's no plausible reason why that would make sense to me to bet against in terms of what I think is a problem at this point. Now, sure, are there things you want to clean up? Yeah, but I think Deion has been a nice little addition to the situation. Nobody else has showed up and looked absolutely terrible versus what we thought their ceiling was. I mean, Caruso has not been the guy, but okay. How much did you want him to be a part of everything anyway? I'm not that concerned, George. I really am not. And that's not just me trolling Bergman. I'm just saying, this is not, to me, a cause for anything close to an alarm.
Okay, fair enough. I mean, they've been bad during the bubble, but I am. There's a lot of people selling Lakers stock right now. Like, it has been happening over the entirety of the bubble. Even after the Clipper game, there are people like, you know, no Montrez, no Lou, they barely squeaked by. There's been a lot of that. I have not been one of those people. I am now accumulating Lakers stock. Because my concern level isn't high, but mostly because at the end of the day, like, I know what this dude's about. You know what I mean? I know it's been 2 years since he's been in the playoffs, but I feel like people are just forgetting how good he is when he's in the playoffs. Like, he has another gear. And I know people are questioning the second gear because of age, but I'm not there yet. Like, he's had a lot of time off. He's had even more time off. And I think he's just working out the kinks here basically in the bubble.
I agree. This is where I'm going to use a NASCAR comparison, Greg, just to make things clear. Why I said the lap-to-lap warriors. The goal in any race is, number one, finish the race. Number two, if you have the best car, make sure that you use it to the best of your capabilities. This is what the Lakers are doing. The Lakers have the best car, in my opinion. They got to finish this race, and then they can win it. That's where I think they're at.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you. I agree. And I still think that he still gets the best out of people. And as much
That's
as
what he does best. That's what LeBron James does best. It is his number one skill as a teammate in his NBA career. He makes average to okay guys legitimately potent, you know, role players. And that is a commendment by every stretch of the imagination. I don't see that going any differently with the Lakers, providing injury or something else doesn't happen.
Agreed. Let's go to the phones real quick. People want to talk Lakers. Mitch is in New Jersey. What's up, Mitch? Listening on the app.
Hey, how we doing, guys?
Hey, what's up?
So let me get this off. Look forward to your new show. Got another partner there. I always thought you should have a longer show. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Hope everybody's being safe here, including Laura and Greg, despite his horrible little choice of drink. It's too early to be drinking Bloody Mary. Unless that's going to kill any kind of sickness, there's no way I'm touching that. It's just too sore. You got to love the Dodgers. Don't worry about the Lakers, but you got to like the Dodgers and the Clippers. This is their year. They're so deep. And thanks for taking my call.
All right, buddy. Thank you. Appreciate it. That was very efficient. He went through all the different
He might have had a couple of Bloody Marys himself at that point in the morning.
Let me go to
tough
Matt.
To understand him.
Matt in the LBC. Matt, what's up?
Hey, what's up, George? How's it going?
Hey, man.
I just wanted to say I'm not really concerned about what's going on with the Lakers because I know that they always step it up, you know, when it's time to do it. But the only thing that kind of does concern me is like what a previous caller said, that they're playing KCP a little bit too much. I think they got to give them less minutes. And then the other thing that concerns me is Caruso's haircut. I think he's been drinking a little bit too many Bloody Marys. But I think he's got this.
Thank you, Matt, for the call.
Quickly on that point, though, like, I mean, playing somebody too many minutes, yo, you're in the bubble,
right?
You clinched the number one seed. Home court doesn't even matter anyway. Yeah. Like, you're trying to figure out what guys can do when pressed in different situations with different matchups. That's what they're supposed to be doing, y'all. This is not about the perfect lap every time. It's about making sure, again, you've got the tools to finish the race, and you have to know what everybody can do. That's why he's getting so many minutes, so they can really analyze and evaluate that the way they should.
Yeah, this is the science experiment for sure. I'm with you. And And look, even Caruso, though, you know, the haircut thing aside, has been out of sorts a little bit, right? He's fouling a lot. He's not having the effectiveness that he had. Look, guys are clearly a bit out of sorts. And look, there's still, what, four more games left for them to kind of figure this thing out and experiment with lineups, get guys some run, and see what happens here. Let me grab Don in Riverside before we hit the break. Don.
Hey, I just wanted to say I'm not worried. I'm feeling as if they're just experimenting right now, just like yep. You kind of said, they're filling the players out. The only thing that worries me, George, is Max Kellerman coming back and messing up our chances to win this chip.
You know, it's interesting, Don, because, you know, you heard Max on with me the other day admit that Sedano is the savior, but the Kellerman curse is a real thing. Kellerman curse was here doing afternoon drive in Los Angeles, and the teams all stunk. Sedano comes to L.A., everything got good. Max is coming back at the worst possible time, as the Lakers are trying to go for a championship and the Dodgers are trying to go for a championship. So we will keep a close eye on the Kellerman curse, Don. Stay healthy, stay safe, and thank you. Clint Yates will continue with us here in just a moment. What you need to know is next, including some breaking news. We are back in 2 minutes.